In this episode, our host, Kenneth Chu, have invited Amy Honey, who is a sales and communication specialist, where we will be talking about You Are Born to Sell. Amy Honey is an international speaker and trainer in the areas of customer engagement, body language, behavior modification, sales, and habit transformation. She has an extensive background in high-ticket sales and is known by her peers. As the powerhouse closer, she has achieved over 5 million in product sales at live events and is an authentic risk-taker with a great sense of humor. Amy has numerous health and fitness certifications and was a professional stunt actress. Amy's greatest passion is transforming people's lives to make a positive impact on the world through her various programs. Without further ado, let's welcome Amy.
Hi, Kenneth! So good to see you and be here with you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for making time. I know that it's really, really early over at your end, thank you for making the time. I really appreciate that. Especially for you to wake up so early and dolled up and getting ready for be on my show. So before we start, in fact, there's a tradition that every guest get to answer the question of the day posted by the previous guest before we can start the show. All right. So are you ready with to answer the question of the day posted by the previous guest?
I am. I'm anxious to hear it. I think that's awesome. That's such a cool thing.
Yes. So in fact, the question of the day, when I heard it, the last episode, I was like, wow, okay, this is for you, because today we are going to talk about You Are Born to Sell. So the question of the day posted by the previous guest is, what is your best selling feature? Okay, so let me repeat again, what is your best selling feature? So like the previous guest, she talks about her best selling feature is her smile. So what would be yours? I give you some time to think about it. While I go on to Facebook Live to see if we are live successfully, if our audio are good to go, and I will come back to you, all right? So are you ready?
I am.
So share with us.
So I would say that my best selling feature is my ability to listen and my ability to meet people where they are.
Wow. I think that is very, very important, because for me, I've been doing sales for the past 13 years, and the power of listening, because people don't like to be sold, people like to be heard, and people like us, or people who are selling anything or promoting anything, to really listen to their needs. So that is a very, very good answer. And now we can officially start the show. So Amy, maybe you can do a short introduction of yourself, because we may have people who are seeing you for the first time. So maybe you can share with us, where are you from and currently what are you doing and what started you into this entrepreneurship journey?
Okay, my name is Amy Honey. On most of the socials, I'm Amy Jo Honey, only because Amy Honey was already taken. So, but I'm a honey because of my husband. We've been married for 15 years. So, and I live in Las Vegas. We moved here to be able to travel. The airport here is awesome. You can get a direct flight just about anywhere. And we were selling for seminars. So my husband does emceeing. So he's really versed in improv, and I'm really, really good at sales. And I kind of didn't realize how good I was in sales until I started working in the seminar industry. It was just something that was natural to me, and I was literally born to sell, and was all the while going, I hate sales, I hate sales. But what I hated being sold. I didn't actually hate sales. So I just had to shift my mindset around it. So I got into entrepreneurship out of a have to, living on my own at 16 and pregnant and homeless at 19. So that's how I ended up going the entrepreneur route. It just 9 to 5 was never for me.
So it seems to me that like at such a young age, like doing business, stepping into entrepreneurship, is like you've been it's like for survival. And am I right to say that it's really for survival?
Yes.
Because a 9 to 5 will not be able to maybe feed you properly, or may not have that best opportunity. Would I say that? at a very young age?
Yeah, and a 9-to-5, I would have just been working to pay the babysitter. So I didn't, and as a single mom and not having any help, like I didn't have an ex that I could, like, I didn't share. It was just, he was out of the picture completely. I was completely on my own. And so it was more like, okay, I've got to do that. I've got to be with my child. I want to spend time with my child. I didn't want to be away from her all the time either, you know? And so I love helping moms. I really am passionate about helping single moms because I understand the struggle.
Wow. Because so far you are the first one that I know that started so young, and because you have a child, and that's where the 9-to-5 doesn't make sense, and it's not quite possible for you to work and take care of your daughter at the same time, because you are the only person to take care of her, right? So I believe that support is also very limited at that point of time. Would I say that?
Yeah.
How did you start this? Like you were saying that you are born to sell, but who helped you to change that mindset, as you were saying?
So it was really through self-help and seminars. So it was through, you know, and I was a gym owner. So before I started selling, I was a gym owner. But again, one of the biggest lessons I learned, and what I learned, it was probably owning that gym. I worked with people that had extreme weight loss. So they needed to lose over 100 pounds. That's who I worked with. However, what I realized was that if I wasn't selling them my services, because I would let them I let them walk all over me in a sense. I was not having what I call closing conversations with them. And so if I wasn't selling them my services, this is what happened. So it's kind of a little bit of a long story, but okay. So I had this, I decided during this time, you know what? I really want to help people, and not everybody can afford me, because it was like $5,000 for the year to work with me, but I was guaranteeing that you would lose that 100 pounds. You know, it's a lot, but you're going to be with me for a year. The people that bought that, all of them got 100%. They all got results, and they are all still doing well today. Right. What happened was I decided I would do a free group, and I had the free group every Saturday. So what was happening was every Saturday they were coming, they were showing up, they were doing all this stuff. No one was getting any weight loss because they didn't have any skin in the game. It wasn't important enough to them. They weren't paying for it. It was just like, oh, it was a free thing, so I'll do it later. One of the guys that was in that group, he was 5 months in. He hadn't lost a pound. He was only 36 years old. He died of a massive heart attack. Wow. And that was a turning point for me of like, oh my God, I did not help that person. I didn't help them. And what would have been the difference? What was the difference in the two people? The difference was I sold the other group a package. That was the difference. And so I realized that if I wasn't selling, I wasn't serving.
Wow. So would I say that mindset came from your experience with this customer that did not pay and pass away, and then that's where it kind of stick in you that you decided to sell a package, which is to serve. So yeah. you kind of discover it yourself, or there was someone that is guiding you?
No, I kind of discovered that on my own.
And you figure it out.
And then, you know, I've been through, you know, I've got, you know, I've done Tony Robbins, I've done, you know, lots of self-help. So I'm sure some of that stuff has influenced me. At the same time, a lot of it's my husband and I, where we just have like kind of deeper conversations about it. And it's like, and then I was like, wait a minute. No, I need to change my mindset around selling. Like, selling is my biggest thing. Was like, selling's kind of, it's not a dirty word. like before, it was kind of like, selling's a dirty word. Like, it's, but the way that I was taught, because I've been selling like my whole life, like when I was in, I mean, my whole life, since I was very, very young, I was 14 years old and had a job selling Kirby's, which is a vacuum cleaner. So I originally sold them on the phones, and then I actually sold them door to door at 14 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, I've always sold, But it was, but you know, you had these sales meetings,
training,
and it was
right?
more, yeah, and it was like sell, and you know, numbers. And so I was taught that way, and it never felt good. It never felt right to me.
Yeah, because when you talk about that, like 14 years old in United States, you guys can start working and start selling all this.
No, not anymore. I'm older. I'm a grandmapreneur.
Wow, you don't know like
so,
one.
Yeah. So back then you could, but now you can't. It has to be 16 or older.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It's not as child labor, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and because when the first time when I knew you through our publisher, Black Card Books, and when I first know you that you're a grandmapreneur, I was like, grandma? How is it possible? And now it just can kind of connect back the dots and, oh, okay, you were a mother when you were 19 and stuff like that. So now I get it. So, but would you say that it was door-to-door sale kind of set up your foundation in sales? And that's where, as you move on further into, like you were talking about fitness, helping people to lose weight and all that, you kind of hone your skills and you kind of have this belief because you learn the salesy way, and when you are on your own, you do not want to go that salesy way. And with all the personal development seminar that you went through, you know that there's a better way of promoting products, right, or services. Is that so?
Yeah. Yeah. And then also through seminars, you know, that can be a very high pressure sales situation as well, you know? And so, that was one of the things I learned through working for seminar companies was how not to do it. A lot of those companies are very high pressure sales. They use NLP tactics, neuro-linguistic programming. They use that, those kinds of, to me, they're very manipulative tactics to sell. The problem with that is that you end up with a lot of cancellations and a lot of bad mouthing on the internet now that the internet is out there, right? So I've shifted some with the companies that I work with. I've helped them to shift into a very low pressure sales situation because there's a difference between high pressuring someone into a sale and holding their hand and being on their side and helping them to make a difficult choice. Mm. It's very different because sometimes when you're selling at a seminar, you know, we're talking $35,000, $40,000programs at times. And that can be a very difficult choice. Now it can be a life-changing choice. However, if it's not really going to help that person get a really good ROI as a salesperson, you absolutely should not sell that person that course. Even if they've got the money to do it, even if it's like they've got the money to waste or throw away, if that's really not going to benefit that person, it shouldn't be sold to that person.
And what I'm hearing from you is, correct me if I'm wrong, that it's very much about ethics and also integrity. That what I'm hearing from you, that you are, I would say that you are having it in your own business, which is the, because you don't want to hard sell someone, and if this product does not do them justice and it's not something that they have a return on investment, it's better not for you as a salesperson to push that across, right? Is that
exactly
what I'm hearing?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And like I said, there's a big difference. Like there's some people that like I can see clearly that it's going to benefit them and they want to do it, but they have a little bit of fear around it because it's a big decision. But it's still not going to break that person. At that point, I will hold that person's hand and we'll figure it out. Like I'm on their side and we figure it out together. So to me, sales is not like I'm going to get you to buy this thing, Kenneth. I'm going to get you to buy this thing, right? It's more being on their side, meeting them where they are, and then helping them to make the choice.
Yeah, make informed decision. That's what I believe also. And you, and just now when I hear from you, like I think in the market itself or as a whole, right, majority of the people, they do not have a very positive connotation about selling, about sales. They always feel that all these seminars are just selling and hard selling and pushing pushing you to buy and manipulative. So why do you think that people have such a negative connotation about selling?
I think because people have learned to do it wrong. You know, and like, and then like network marketing, there's some companies that I absolutely love in network marketing. I hate the way they teach their people to do it. I think they don't listen. I call it steamrolling. It's like you come to me and you're like, hey, I want to lose some weight, and I'm like, oh my god, I've got this product, blah 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 blah, and I just steamroll. And you're like, yeah, but I really just want to lose the weight because of this. And you didn't hear me that I didn't want this, and this. You're and you just tried to steamroll over me. And people don't like that. It doesn't feel good. They don't feel heard. They don't feel listened to. And so I think people have learned to do it incorrectly, and they're doing it the best they can. And the funny thing is that if you look at the average salesperson, most people have a 25% sell rate. That's because there's four personality types. So there's four different buying languages. There's four different ways we speak. So it's really important, if you can listen and you understand the buying languages, you can hear someone else's buying language. Then you can adapt your own communication to their buying language.
Wow.
And so that they can feel heard. So if you can do that, like for like me, I'm like, if I didn't know about this, I would only sell in my buying language because that's how I buy.
Correct.
You know, I'm a very, they call it, I think in the DISC, it's like high A. I'm very high A, high action, high, you know, very high, like direct. I can be aggressive. I can come off as very aggressive. Yep. And most people don't like that. That's only one quarter of the language. So, you know, if you want to sell to me, you just have to be like super direct. What does it cost? Are you in or what? That's me. That's my language, right?
Yeah. That's your buying language.
That's my buying language, right? And that's like, if you come to me and you start trying to fluff me and tell me all the little details,
you get turned
I'm
off.
Out.
Yeah, you get
I'm
turned
out,
off
right?
And you're out.
Where my husband, he's the detail-oriented one. He wants the details. He wants to know that, right? And so understanding that about the different people and where they're at, you know, you can quickly pick it up and you can quickly speak their language, right? So that's going to help any salesperson increase their sales, because now you're really listening to where they are. It's so important to meet people where they're at.
Yeah, I like the part is that when you talk about the buying personality, that struck me too, because I learned it after I've done sales for many, like for a decade or so. That's where I learned about the buying personality, which I did not know that I had that. Like, I did not know that I had that. I'm able to see the different personality and really go for that, and know how to handle, because of like what you mentioned about listening. I keep asking questions to really dive deep into finding the core reason why the customers or the client would want to buy or would not want to buy. It's like keep on probing, keep on asking. And when you talk about the buying language, this is something that I learned through one of my company that I was with. It's a network marketing company, and talk about four color personality, and that's how you can differentiate different personality and speak their language.
So what color are you? I'm a red.
Okay, depending on which color personality you are using, there's one that is developed by this guy called Mark Acera. So it's color personality. I'm considered the yellow in terms of that color. Yellow meaning that we are very nurturing, we are very warm, we want to help people. Yeah, so that they classify in yellow. But in other color personality, it is of another color. So
it's blue. It would be blue in the one that I
Correct. So basically, there's four different types. Like yours would be red because it's action,
red.
It's aggressive, or sometimes it's very. You guys like loud, you guys like dress up, you like guys you guys like to be seen and all that. So that is one personality. So for me, if you can see that I always wear the same or black, I try to be more subtle. I try to blend in. I try to be nice. I try to help people. I have a big heart and all that. That would be what they call a nurturing personality. And then like your husband, he's more of what we call the green, more of the analytical, more of the step by step. They need facts and figures. They are very into detailed stuff. The other type is really by the book, step by step, which is like my wife. She has her own processes and all that. So these are the four personality, and it helps you to, once you identify their personality, you are able to craft your pitch or craft your proposal or even how you are going to introduce the product to them. It makes a whole lot different, and that increases the closure rate. Like you mentioned, 25% is for, I would say, amateur salespeople. For us who are very experienced, who are able to see that, I would say that it can go up to 75%. And the last 25% is the clients or the customer may not want to take that step, may have other concerns, which we will address it later. And that will help us to increase it to 100%.
Yeah. Absolutely. And not everybody's right. You know, that's the thing is, like, it's so important that you understand if the person's right for that product or not. Like, really, it has to really benefit them. It really does. And I think that's where people go, I don't like sales. I don't like sales. I'm not into sales, because they've been sold.
Yeah.
And that feels yucky.
Yeah. And
it doesn't feel good.
And just now you talk about something that a lot of people start on the wrong foot. They start incorrectly. And I would agree with you. Why would I say that? Because I was not meant to be a salesperson. I was a baby wear designer. And because I was a baby wear designer, when I went for my first sales job, it's an advertising sales for a parenting magazine. And they got me in and they trained me from scratch, like a blank piece of paper. And I was started on the right footing. Why would I say that? Because they changed my mindset of selling. They said that selling is natural. It's a day-to-day thing. Even when we were young, as baby, we are already selling. We are selling. Why? By crying. Because we want milk, we want comfort, we want to poop, and we want to do a lot of things. That's why we cry, we communicate, we persuade the parents to comfort us or to give in to our needs. So as you grow up, as all of us know that you need to get good grades, you make your parents happy, they buy a big Christmas present. And that is all about selling. But the selling, as we grew up, it became like what Amy, you have mentioned. People are just pushing the thing that you don't need, right? So
yeah, and it's like listening to the person, because if they're not leaning into you, stop selling them.
Yeah.
Like I go, friend, right? I immediately stop. That's where people get annoyed, is where you keep trying to sell them on something they've clearly, like, given you the signals, even if they don't say no, just they've already given you certain signals that it's a no. And if it's a no, don't stop.
Yeah.
Because you could, they might be interested later.
Mm-mm.
But if you keep pushing now, they will never be interested.
Yeah.
And just to go back to your point of, yeah, we start selling as children, as moms. Oh my God, those veggies do not sell themselves. So you are already a salesperson.
Yeah,
you're already selling your kid on the idea of, hey, we're going to go to bed early tonight. Like, you're selling that.
and in fact, this is something I realized, right? If a mom can handle a lot of kids and manage a lot of kids, able to persuade them to be good, be nice, be obedient, the mom is already a very, very good salesperson. But if you see
that, amazing.
If you see a mom that is struggling, persuading, or trying to keep this, or try to discipline their kid, they have no, they can't do it. You will see that they struggle a lot in selling. They struggle a lot in their business, because persuasion is the I would say, the greatest skill that you need to have as an entrepreneur. Because even you are not selling any product, you still need to sell a vision. You still need to sell an idea to your to your investors or even to your team members or even to the one that is sleeping beside you every day, every night. Yeah. So you need to do that, right?
Yeah. And somebody sold something, you're always selling something. It's like you're, every conversation is a sales conversation. Either I'm selling you an idea or you're selling me an idea, or it's all sales conversations.
Correct.
Now closing conversations is a whole different game, which I realized that early on I wasn't having these closing conversations, because that's the scariest conversation for most people.
Yeah.
Because that's the time that you're asking for a resolution or you're asking for money.
Yeah.
And people don't want, they're afraid to ask for the money.
And you brought up something that is very crucial in any sales or any closure, is conversation. People who don't converse or don't have conversations normally are not good at closing, because conversation is transactional, and conversation, this is what I learned also, that in order to have a higher conversion is to ask more questions, ask the right question, so that you can have the right answers, which is to really find out what is the real reason why they are not buying your product, which is to keep on probing and asking them. And how would you say that conversation for you is important in your day-to-day, or even for what you're doing now, live stream selling? What would you say?
Are you asking how conversation's important in my life?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It all comes down to communication and how we're communicating, and not only just how we're communicating, but how is the other person receiving that communication? And being aware of that. Like, it's some people call it like how I occur to others. Like, like, how am I occurring for my daughter right now? You know, is she, how is she hearing me? How am I communicating with her? Every single bit of communication that we have creates relationship. And it's in those conversations that creates relationships. It's like, oh, you get me, or you understand me. Now I feel heard.
Yeah.
You know, so then you can actually create better relationships in your life through better conversations and deeper conversations.
And you touched a very, very powerful point, which for me, I realized that the highest level of selling is not selling, it's relationship building. Right?
Yeah.
And talk about, and how do you build up relationship? It's by conversation, right? And
by conversation and right. Listening, hearing where they're at. And yeah. I take copious notes, so that the next time I talk with that person, I'm like, oh, how's your husband with, you know, how's your husband, Dave? Like, I like, they're like, whoa, she remembered me.
Yeah.
You know, and not only because I just want them to feel good, I also take those notes so that I remember, and I can remember that person, and so that I can build a better relationship with that person.
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone to ever feel like a number.
Yeah, right.
You know, right. Because especially for women, we are relational. Men are more transactional, as you know. Women are relational. So that's another reason why we have women are great at selling, because we tell all of our friends about all the stuff we love, right? Oh my God, you gotta check out this makeup. Like, we're natural at it. We're just natural at sales. We're not very good at the closing conversations or the transactional conversations, because transaction is uncomfortable to us, and we don't want to ever feel like a transaction.
Yeah.
Right.
And just now you talk about like women are natural at it. Why would I say that? Because because I've been working with mothers for the past 14 years. Whenever a mom knows about, okay, I found this stroller that is really nice, I really shared about it, I've used it, I introduce it to my friend, I refer my friend, at no cost at all, right? We are so willing, that means mothers are so willing to share things that they've used, they benefited from it, and they start sharing with people, and people benefited from it, and start rolling and rolling. That's why women are natural sharer. And in fact, the highest level of even higher than selling is really sharing, and that is highest form of promoting. Because like just now before we start the show, right, you were saying that the merchants or your clients that handed you the products, you make sure that you use it, you liked it, you know what is it in and out before you start promoting about it, which is the same for anybody that even for myself, when I use any product, or even I have to believe in that product first. I've used that product that has the pros and cons. I would be there to share with my friend or a family members before they're going to use that, right? So it's the same with your business. If you don't even believe in your product or your services, it's very hard for you to convince another person who has no idea about your product and services, and there's no conviction at all. You're not passionate about that. They can feel it, because like you mentioned, we are, especially women, more sensitive. They want to be heard, they want to be felt, they want to be understood. So these are very, very important things. And it's not just women. Even today, men would want to be heard, because most of the time, nobody is listening to them. Like if you are in the workplace, right?
Yeah, even men don't want to feel like a number either. Even though they are more transactional, they have the same buying languages as women, the same four buying languages as we do. It's no different. It really comes down to meeting people where they're at.
Yeah. And, you know, and just now when you talk about, instead of the personality, you were saying that buying behavior, that's where I believe that we are born to sell, but we are not born to be sold. We are born to buy. We love to buy, right?
We love shopping. I love to shop. And I, you know what? It's so funny because it's such a different attitude. Like, I enjoy it when people call me up and try to sell me stuff. Yeah. I love it because I'm just grinning in the back and I'm just like listening to their pitch. I listen to all of it, you know? I love it when people try to sell me stuff.
And there is something that I realized that a lot of times when people do it wrongly is because they don't hear. Okay, I should rephrase it. It's more of this is what I saw a lot of, or even experienced or observed a lot of mothers who started their business, or anybody who's starting their business, even some of my clients who approached me for the first time. They're very passionate. Oh, my product can be sold. I will have investor coming in. I will need you to come in as marketing and all that. They are very passionate about it. But the thing that they've forgotten is people don't care what you sell. People care what they want to buy. Whether is it for them. If like you keep telling them that you need to buy this, you need to buy this, what they are hearing is, I don't need this. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is like, I might be really excited because I got great results off something, but that night, like maybe I lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
But that might not be your goal. Your goal might be, I just want to sleep better. You know what I mean? So I might be trying to sell you on weight loss when that's not your goal at all.
Yeah.
Your goal is better sleep. So until I have a conversation with you and find out what your problem is, and until I have a solution that can solve that problem, I don't sell you a thing.
Yep.
I listen to you. I find out what your needs are, what you're looking for. If I have something that I feel is a good solution, I'll share that solution.
Yep.
Other than that, I have nothing to sell you. If you don't have a problem, I don't have anything to fix it.
Yeah.
Right? That's it.
I think the other thing about why we are born to sell, because we human beings like to help people. We like to lend a hand. We like to offer. And that's where you talk about, first, you must identify the problem your client or your customer has that you can solve, right? There must be a solution. A lot of time, this is why I see a lot of business owners, especially startup, is that, oh, I have this solution. You should use this solution. Like, are you hearing me, or do you see my problem? And that's where you identify that. It's like, I don't see that I have a problem. I don't see that I need to lose weight. And why are you telling me that I need to lose weight? These are people are just shoving it down. They are just selling what they want, but they are not selling what people need, right?
Yeah. It's funny because, like, you know, on Facebook, I get people that send me stuff all the time. And so I get somebody that I haven't heard from in, you know, 6 months or a year. And they send me a weight loss solution thing. And I just type back, I go, are you calling me fat? Because it's like, it's kind of insulting if you think about it. Like, you've slid into my DMs and you haven't even found out if I have a problem. And you're giving me this solution, assuming I want this solution. And to me, it's kind of insulting, you know? And the reason I ask that question back is I want them to get to think, wait a minute, what did I just tell this person? What am I telling these other, because I don't really think they said that. But at the same time, maybe subconsciously, somebody that is a little bit overweight might feel a little bit offended. Maybe they're not ready to lose the weight. Maybe they're self-conscious about it. They have medical conditions. And it just, to me, it's just so super rude to do that. And so I'm not actually offended because it takes a lot to offend. But I like to get them to think. So that'll be my answer. Oh, wow. Do you think I'm fat? You know, and then they're like, oh, no. Like, so, but it's just funny to me.
It's like a wake up call, especially for us. We are so seasoned with it. Like, because when you share that, right, that prompted me into something that I receive a lot from LinkedIn. I do not know whether you have received messages like they are selling or talking about the services. I say that, hey, do you look into my profile at all? I'm not a woman. And they are telling me, hey, right. So, and that person, okay, this is something that I always say that that your message seems to be a template that you are blasting it out to a lot of people, or are you a robot? Are you a bot? And I'm always asking that. And suddenly you can see those that after you reply, they stop typing, right? Because they realize that they have done something wrong. Like you mentioned, they have that awareness. They are not conscious of what they are doing because they're being taught by someone who's teaching them that method. Like, that's where I want to go back to what you say. They start on the wrong footing. They start incorrect. Because like you mentioned, a lot of network marketing, they are really, really nice people, nice product, but it's always the person that is pushing the product or the person that is teaching their team members to do this strategy, because that is, I would say, like really old school selling. But now they are not evolving over time. They do not hear people. They are just shoving it under people's throat. And what they will always say, oh, sales is a numbers game, which is not really true. Once you know about the four personality, it's not a numbers game. It's not at all. So I think what we're trying to share with a lot of people is that you are natural in selling. It's just having the conversation. It's just having that, building that relationship, right? So having said that, because you say that you are born to sell, you've been selling ever since. Was there a moment that you start thinking that, hey, am I really, really cut for selling? Was there a moment that you doubt yourself that, am I cut for selling?
No, I just always could always do it. It's so funny. So my dad, so we have something here called Campfire Girls. It's like Girl Scouts. So I was in Campfire Girls and I was probably about 9 years old. It was my first year in Campfire Girls. And they had this really cool camp that you could go to in the summertime. And it was expensive. It was like $1,000 or $1,500 for the week, something like that. And so what my dad did was he dressed me up in my little Campfire Girls outfit. And he took me around to the different car dealerships in the town. Now, these are all sales guys. So he knew that. So my dad's very good at sales, by the way. He was a stockbroker. And so he would take me around to all these different car salesmen dressed in this cute little 9-year-old. And he would make me walk right up to the sales guys and ask them if they wanted to buy my cookies and my stuff, right? I sold, I think, 13 cases of cookies in one day. and my entire way to camp in one day. So selling has always been natural to me. I think what really became very clear after working with some seminar companies was the ethics around it. So I was always good at it. I can NLP you into a sale in a heartbeat. I won't sell that way. So I had a particular company. Yeah, I had a particular company that was trying to push us to sell that way. And I left that company because of the ethics in that company. And at that point, I really had to start creating boundaries, because at that point I was being headhunted by all these different companies coming to me. And I turned down more than I say yes to. And I think that had to become the philosophy, was the ethics, understanding like, wait a minute, not everybody sells like this and not everybody has to sell like this. And the companies that want you to sell like that, they're still doing that manipulation tactic type stuff. And I don't want to be involved in it.
Yeah. In fact, I have a similar experience like yours. I was told to sell this. In fact, it's in financial services. And the reason why I work in the bank, because I do not want to just sell insurance and endowment, because there are still other financial instruments that I can sell, I can propose to the customer. But because of how it is structured in the compensation or even the commission scheme, when you sell insurance or you sell what they call a saving plan, you get more commission. But when you sell an investment product like unit trust, you don't get that much commission. And a lot of bankers are being forced to sell something they are not, in order to hit their threshold or even hit the mark. So that's where I realized that it wasn't ethically, it wasn't right. And I always get myself into problem. Why? Because I would always sell something that the client needs than what the clients don't need. And I always fall short of my insurance threshold, my quota. But I still go ahead with it because this is what I believe that is right. But after a while, I realized that it's not an industry. It's not my cup of tea. It's not something that I enjoy. Although my clients benefit a lot, but I personally, it's really hard to be in that industry. So once I came out from it, I stick to what you mentioned about the ethics. So what would you say that for someone who's going to start a business or even to start selling something or promoting something, especially as a mom, what would you say is their biggest challenge?
Their biggest challenge? Most of them is sales, and most entrepreneurs, our biggest challenge is that, look, we go into it because we want to help other people. That's why we do it, right? At the end of the day, is it going to be a hobby or is it going to be a business? And what I mean by that is that what we end up doing is we end up treating our businesses like hobbies. And so my biggest advice, and I think that's the biggest challenge, is that we don't understand that we don't realize that we're treating the business like a hobby.
Can you so draw example, like how do people treat their business like a hobby?
So what they do is they go in. So they go into it and they don't look at, like, say, for instance, the marketing. Your marketing is the most important and your sales people are the most important. Your sales. Marketing and sales. Marketing gets money. Products and services keep the money. So without marketing, you're not getting money. So people are doing things like creating their website. That's the fun part, right? That's the hobby part, right? But necessarily the return on investment. It's the marketing, right? So we've got to market, right? But most of us aren't marketers. Most of us, again, got this great thing. I know I can help people, so I'm going to start this business. And so I call it ranging deck Titanic. They're making everything look pretty and rearranging everything so it looks pretty, but they're not doing any return on investment type activities, sales activities, right? So like they're rearranging it, they're making everything look nice, but it's diving ship, unfortunately. So I always recommend that people reverse engineer their business, meaning start with the marketing. Start with who is this going to help? How is this going to help them? And what are their needs, wants, and desires? What's their target market's needs, wants, and desires? Then all of the language that they speak needs to be around their buyer's language, not their language. Their buyer's needs, wants, and desires.
Yeah, and you are absolutely right, because I run my own digital marketing agency, so I meet a lot of clients, and they always talk about the visual. You need to set up this, you need to have all these pages, and then the fastest thing that they do is to set up their social media accounts, and they think that
that's the part.
Again?
That's the fun part. That's part of it.
And they taught
right? So we're gonna do the fun stuff.
And they thought by setting it up, marketing will just roll it by itself. Right?
Yeah.
And
you guys start with the marketing, and you should be marketing. When's the best time to market, Kenneth?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the first best time was a year ago.
Yeah.
The next best time is now. You should be marketing your business before your business is up.
Yeah. Yeah. You are right.
Because it takes a while to get that out rolling.
And people don't get it. People don't understand that. People thought that. Business is now I sell, now I get it. No. Yeah.
Or they think build it and they'll come. Well, kind of.
Yeah, and that,
but
that
that's is... what I mean by treating it by a treating it like a hobby, because you're doing the fun parts of it.
There's
you're
no,
not doing
no
the
plan,
nitty gritty.
Right?
What's that?
Because these are all fun part and the hobby. There's no really planning. This is why I see there's not really a lot of planning and preparation. They thought that business, like recently I came across a lot of business owner that my new leads and all that. They just start a business like that with no planning at all. I just ask them very basic question, who are your target audience? Oh, my target audience is 16 to 50 years old. I was like, okay, you're not serving anyone with such a huge age group. And when I dissect to them, I told them that 16 to 25 is a group, is a demographic, 25 to 35, different lifestyle. They are working adults, 35 to 45, they are retired, they are more veteran, they are more experienced, they are more manager role, they have older kids and all that. So how can your target audience be such a huge age group? It's like the education is not there, and they think that they know a lot, which they don't. Even for us as marketers or even salesperson or business owner, we don't know a lot of things. We are constantly learning, and they can tell us that, oh, okay, I know a lot of things. I know my customer. Then when I ask them questions, they are not able to answer. And imagine as a business owner, you can't even answer who are your customers, what do they do, what is their household income, do they have kids, are they married? If you can't answer all that question, basically, don't start the business. Don't start running it until you get all that. Because there's no clarity at all, right? So that's where, when you don't have clarity, you can't even sell to anyone, right? Is that true?
Exactly. Exactly. And then again, you're speaking your language. Like, you're really excited about the thing. And sometimes, like, I see people even make up, like, words and stuff around their business or acronyms around their business. And then they're out there talking about it, but it's your language. No one else understands it.
Yeah.
And no one else cares. Nobody cares. Unfortunately, nobody cares about you or how excited you are about your product. Like, they care about them. They care about that. Yeah. What? So you have to speak into the messaging. You know, you have to speak their language. It's so important. And I'm not just talking buyer language. I'm talking their language of what their pain is.
Yeah.
What's their pain? What's their problem? How are you speaking
desire,
very
right?
clearly and simply to that pain or problem?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right on that part where they don't care until you start caring, right? Because like you mentioned, and this is why I see this is, I would say, a great mistake that a lot of startup or people who wanted to start business is that they care too much what they want to sell. they do not know exactly what their target audience wants, and they're shoving it down on their throat. You see, why am I not getting any sales? Precisely because you're not hearing them. You okay, for example, like for me, I'm 40 years old. I'm trying to sell a 40-year-old idea to a 20-year-old young adult. How is that possible? I'm not even hearing what the young adult wants, right?
Exactly.
So why do I want to shove something, let me, something for my kids, and shoving down a young adult throat when they don't even have kids, right?
Yeah.
So this is what a lot of people, I'm just putting it as an example, as an analogy, that a lot of people are doing that. They're shoving things that people don't need. Like you mentioned, the needs, desire, and wants. Do they even know what they want? Do they even have a survey, even a focus group, that they could get information? Yeah, so these are things that you talk about marketing. And a lot of people thought that by having a social media handle, you start posting things, that is marketing. That is not. Yeah.
It's not, especially since I think 2010 or 2011, when Facebook changed the algorithms to you got to pay to play. You have to pay to play. So now you're talking about paying for ads on social media. And if your messaging is off, you're throwing money. You might as well just, you know, you could just send me that money. Just send it to me because, yeah, you're just flushing it down the toilet. You're just making Mark Zuckerberg richer.
Yeah. And like time really flies, and really want to like learn, have a lot of conversation with you about this, because sales is something that is very close to my heart. I've been doing it. I've been loving it. I like the connection. I like the communication. I like the relationship. Maybe you can, maybe Amy, you can let the audience know, like, how can they get connected with you, especially for you. You do live stream, you do Amazon Live. So how can they get connected with you, Amy?
So on Amazon Live, you can go to happyhoneys.com. It's happyhoneys.com. You can contact me there. You can also go to amyhoneyfitness.com, and that'll give you to all my socials. So if you want to connect with me on social or any, all my socials are at the top. My Amazon Live's at the top there too. So that's a good, amyhoneyfitness.com is a good one. Yeah.
Thanks a lot. So for those who are watching and listening, how to connect with Amy, you can take a look at the description. I would have included it in. So do reach out to Amy, do check out her live stream. She's really, really amazing. I've been on to one of her session. It has been fun. And last but not least, Amy, now it's your turn for you to post the question of the day out to the audience and also to the next guest. So what would your question of the day be?
I guess my question of the day would be, how do you sell without selling?
Wow.
How do you sell without selling?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm just curious, how would the next guest take this question of the day? So the question of the day posted by Amy is, how do you sell without selling? So this question of the day goes out to the audience and also to the next guest. So next guest, get ready to answer this question of the day. So last but not least, Amy, any last advice for mothers who are sitting on the fence thinking whether they should step into entrepreneurship or not? What would your last advice be?
Do it. Your kids are worth it. Because at the end of the day, you're spending all this time away from your children. And is that really what you want? If you know, when you're on your deathbed and you're looking back at your life, are you going to go, you know, I wish I had worked more when they were younger? Or are you going to go, oh, man, I wish I had figured out a way to stay at home with my children? So that would be my biggest advice, is figure it out. Get resourceful. Yeah. Get your own business. It's so important. You want to make yourself rich, or you want to make other people rich?
Yeah. Wow, that's a nice one. So once again, thanks, Amy, for your last advice to the mom, to the mothers who are thinking whether they should start or not start a business. Just do it, and you will figure out the rest. So thanks a lot, Amy, for sharing. I love it when you share so much golden nuggets, a lot of deep insight about sales, about the psychology of it, about how you should be better at selling, be better at promoting, and definitely you are born to sell, right? So once again, thank you guys for watching and listening to Mompreneur Space live show podcast, where I interview mompreneurs from all around the world every week. So I'm Kenneth here, signing off with Amy. I shall see you guys in the next episode. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Amy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kenneth. It was great to see you.
Bye-bye.